our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season word.
Gracious God, we thank you. We count ourselves blessed on today. Thank you for being the one who blesses us day in and day out, simply because we know you and you know us. Thank you, O God, for another blessed Sunday morning, a worship experience. Thank you for these blessed people that you have given life to, purpose, protection, and provision. Lord, we ask now that you forgive us where we may have fallen short, sinned against you, Mr. Mark. Dare not come into your presence and not admit that we need your cleansing, your healing, and redemption. And Father, we thank you for this worship experience, all the singing that has gone forth, the prayers that have gone forth, the praise and exaltation. I pray, dear Lord, it's been sweet to your nostrils, and that you are pleased with what we've attempted to show how much we appreciate you. But then, God, we ask now that as we move forward in this worship of glorifying you, that now, God, we want to hear from you. And I pray today, God, that your word will bless your people like never before. May we receive what you're saying to our hearts, our spirits, that we might be the better for it. Lord, we ask, if it be your will, good God, that you will save a soul, that you will change our life, that our destiny will be altered, and your glory will go forth in this place. We ask you now, God, to put your weight on it today. Put your weight on this place, in our hearts, in our situation. Just show off today, God. Show off. Show off. Lord, the world sometimes acts like you don't exist. We sometimes live like you don't exist. And ask God that you just show off today and just heal someone, bless someone, strengthen someone. And we promise to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord one more time if you got it in you. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory. Glory to God. To all of our ministers and ministry leaders, to all of you who assembled here today, visitors and friends, we thank God for this blessed day, privilege that we have to share in the house of the Lord one more time. We bid you all good morning. In a name unlike any other name, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our guide and our comfort. We give God praise for this day. For this day we did not know we would have, but yet God in his goodness and mercy allowed you and I the privilege to have one more day to celebrate his goodness. Amen. We thank God for this day. Thank God for our music ministry blessing us this morning. Give God praise for them. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you who are here. I pray that you're glad that you came to share with us today. It means the world that you all decided to share this worship experience with us on today. Amen. If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to join me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter number 7. There's a word that the Lord has laid on our heart to share with you. I'm praying that somebody will be encouraged on today. 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings in between 1 Kings and 3 Kings. If you find 3 Kings, you got the wrong book. 2 Kings chapter number 7. And we want to commence reading at verse number 3 and a few of the following. You finally say, I got it. Need more time? Say, wait for me. Y'all ain't got it. Y'all just want to move on. 2 Kings chapter 7. We want to commence at verse number 3. And the word of God reads thusly. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses and even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. Say amen for the word of God. Amen. Grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. Word of our God shall stand forever. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. For these few moments today, beloved, I want to talk to you from this thought, the unusual suspects. I want to talk about the unusual suspects. We are challenged at this hour like never before, simply because God, I believe in my spirit, is stretching our faith. He's stretching our perspective, and he's stretching our viewpoint. Stretching can be very uncomfortable, but it's necessary for better movement. And the longer you've gone without stretching, the more difficult it is for you to stretch. But God, in his infinite wisdom and his godness, is doing something in the body of Christ that I really love, but it does not always feel that good. For God, brothers and sisters, is stretching our focus, our faith. Things that we count on, things that we think are going to happen a certain way, don't happen a certain way. Beloved, I want to talk to us today because some of us, as much as we love God and have good intentions, we tend to think we know how God's going to do it. We tend to think we know not only how God is going to do it, but then we think we know when God's going to do it. Not only do we tend to believe because we read the Bible and we pray and we have this unction where our toes are tingling and our hands will start itching and we start feeling like we discern something from God. That God is telling me something. If it's my left hand, it's bad news. If it's my right hand, it's good news coming. Any little unction we give within ourselves, we believe that the sovereign God has sent you on assignment and now you are the herald to tell us something good is coming. Or something bad is coming. Not only do we tend to think we know how God's going to do it, not only do we tend to think we know when's going to do it, but we even have the nerve sometimes to think who God's going to do it through. For we tend to go to government authorities. We tend to go to authorities and powers that be to believe that's how God is going to provide. That's how God is going to make a difference. That's how God is going to do what he wants to do. We're in the election season. And I mean no disrespect because we've got candidates out in the room today. But candidates have given us some guarantees, and not necessarily these here, but those, there are candidates who give guarantees and say, I'm going to fix it. I'm the answer. Vote for me, I'm going to take you there. And we may be listening to this for over 100 years because of the democratic process. We do understand our vote does matter. We understand that our candidates do have a plan, but they are not the sole authority on what God wants to do. Our prayer is today that those government agents, these officials, will trust God themselves to guide their footsteps, to guide their decision making, to guide their path. But we can't put our full trust in men and what man may do. We don't know how God's going to do it. We don't know when God's going to do it. And we don't know who God's going to do it through. And I want to introduce to you today that perhaps I believe in my spirit that God is raising up unusual suspects to bring about some deliverance for us, to bring about some betterment for us. It's not the people that you think.
Yeah.
It's not the ones that you're running behind. It's not the ones you're kissing up to.
Yeah.
It's going to be the one that you done put out.
Yeah.
It's going to be the one that you disregard. It's going to be the one that you overlook that God has raised up to bring about deliverance and betterment for God's people. I knew you ain't going to get happy about that, but it excites me to know that I ain't got to be the only one to bring about a difference. When you think about when you want God to bless people, God's going to use some folks who've been through some stuff.
Yeah.
Because some of us good church folk don't tell the truth.
Yeah.
We don't be honest about what we're going through. So God is going to take some drug users and make them a deacon.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make some users and make them some ushers. Mm-hmm. He's going to take some pimps and make them preachers. I'm excited today that God's going to use some unusual suspects to bring about deliverance, improvement, betterment for God's people. I'm excited about that. Now, some of us not excited because we want to be the one. But when you get your mind off trying to be the boss and trying to be the straw boss and just say, I just want any way God blesses us, I want God to bless us. You ain't never got to call my name. You ain't never got to give me a trophy. You ain't never got to pay me. I just want to see God's people in a better condition. And God is not going to use the usual suspects. Because the usual suspects have gotten arrogant. The usual suspects have gotten dry. The usual suspects have no zeal. The usual suspects don't have a passion. We're so busy going to church and doing our thing and going home. So God say the one that y'all been passing by, the ones y'all been overlooking, the ones that y'all can't stand, that's the one I want. Because they done been through enough now to say they don't care what anybody say. They don't care about your little church face. They don't care about your little arrogant rules. They just want to do what God wants them to. Thank God today for some unusual suspects. It's not going to be who you think. You're running behind the wrong ones. You're stepping over people you ought to be walking with. God is getting ready to raise up a generation of people who don't care about your church dress, your church clothes. They're going to come in drunk. They're going to come in high. They're going to come in with the stink on them. But God going to clean them up. God going to turn them around. It's going to be unusual suspects. And such is the case in our text today. Our text today in 2 Kings is Taylor teach us some things about how God will use some unusual suspects to bring about betterment for all of God's people. The time of our text, God's people are under siege by the Syrian army led by King Ben-Hadad. They are under siege. They have been raided. They have been plundered. They have been attacked. And Syrians have taken all of God's people's stuff. They've come and robbed them and raided them and they've attacked them. The word of the Lord had already gone forth because they come and do this in the midst of a famine. Can the church say famine? A famine is when you have a shortage of everything. It's a very difficult time in Samaria. It's a very difficult time for the people of God because the people of God are dealing with difficult times economically, dealing with a difficult time politically, and dealing with a difficult time spiritually. It's gotten so bad, y'all, that chapter 6 records a case of two women, two mothers. One mother comes to the king and complains because she says, I made an agreement with this other mother that we would eat each other's children. And I gave my child first, and we ate my child, and I can't find her tomorrow to eat her child. She done met, that's how bad it's done got. The donkey heads are for sale. People having to eat the head of a donkey just to survive. It's bad in Samaria, y'all. That you can't find anything. It's tough. Y'all think we got it bad because of gas prices, but ain't nothing like what Samaria was dealing with at this time. There's a big time famine. And the word of the Lord came through prophet Elisha. Elisha speaks this word, and he was an advisor of the king, but the king even turned on him because life got so bad. Life was so difficult, and the king had lost his credibility that he was now turning on the man of God. But thanks be to God. In the midst of all that, in chapter 7, he speaks a word from God. He said that tomorrow. I'm going to try it again. He said, it's bad right now, but God sent a word through a prophet. And Elisha is the one who most represents Jesus to us because he had a double portion of the anointing that Elijah, his predecessor, had. And he speaks a word from God and says, I know it looks bad now, but tomorrow it's going to get better. I wish I had somebody get happy. Let's say, as long as you're around a word from the Lord, can I get this to you for free? As long as you got the opportunity to hear a word from the Lord, you always got a chance for something to get better.
better. You think you got it bad because you ain't got no money and because people left you and because you got laid off. That ain't what's bad. What's bad is when God don't speak to you. So somebody ought to thank God today that even with a broken account, even with the sickness in my body, God still speaks to me. And if God still speaks to me, it's going to get better after a while. Can somebody thank God there's still a word that goes forth even in the midst of all the chaos? No, y'all ain't happy about that. A word goes forth that tomorrow everything you've been worried about, flowers going to be affordable, barley's going to be affordable if you just hold on till tomorrow. That reminds me of what the psalmist says in Psalm 30. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Can anybody hold on in the morning? In the morning? In the morning. It'll be all over. Hey! In the morning. If you could just hold on. Now watch this. The reason y'all may not like that is because you don't see it, but you heard it. And sometimes you got to hold on to what you heard until you see what you heard. Do I have anybody helping me? That's why we got to receive the word of God. I don't see it right now, but God promised me. And if God promised me, I'm going to keep my eyes open because something coming down the road. Yeah. Let me hurry. A word goes forth. Word goes forth. And it didn't make sense. It's a time when Elisha himself is in trouble. The king is in trouble. The people are in trouble. And the Syrians are running things. It's a dangerous time. It's a dark time. It's a defeated time. It's just a depressing time. And God still speaks. That's why I'm so glad that y'all came to church in the midst of. See, I got enough sense to know everybody in this room ain't having the happiest time of your life. But you done learned enough about God to know that the same God who brought you through that is the same God who will bring you through this. I don't have a witness today who can testify. I can't figure out what he's going to do, but I got enough evidence to know he's going to do something for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says tomorrow, this time tomorrow, things going to turn around. Now, the problem is the people who have supposed to be hearing it didn't receive it because of the situation at hand. But the Bible brings us to this point because we got some brothers who heard the word. But it's not who you think. And you got some unusual suspects who you would think wouldn't hear the word who heard it when the usual suspects heard it and didn't respond. I'm going to try it one more time. There's a word that goes forth, and the people you think will receive it don't receive it. And some folks who've been fired, who've been put out, who hear the word and respond. It don't make sense. Because the church folk ought to be the one to hear the word and run with it. But they hear the word, no response. But the ones who ain't in church, ain't got no position, ain't got no key, but they still heard the word. And then respond to it. So we begin today with a difficult distinction. These unusual suspects have with them, they're carrying, somebody say carrying. They're carrying a difficult distinction. The Bible says that there are four leprous men. Y'all waiting on me, I'm waiting on y'all. Bible says there are four leprous men. Watch this. The Bible doesn't say four lepers. Y'all making me work too hard. There are four leprous men. Isn't it difficult when people tend to label you by what's wrong with you? We don't know their name, but we know their issue. We don't know where they come from, but we know their issue. Because lepers have these scales and the boils, and they're bald-headed, their clothes are tattered, and that's physical problem. Then they have no money, that's financial problem. It's spiritually considered to be sinful because sinful brings about leprosy. That's a spiritual problem. And then they got a social problem because they've been put out. Try it again. They are lepers, right? And so that means they have some physical problems because balls have manifested. Their heads are shaven. They are weakened and they're bruised. They got marks all over them. That's physical. Then they got economic problems because they can't work because ain't nobody gonna hire them because they lepers. So they broke. Then they have some spiritual problems because it is believed that sinfulness brought about leprosy. That's a spiritual problem. They're separated from God. And then they got some social problems, my friend, because of what they got wrong with them, they have been put out of the community. They're just hanging outside of town. They are not even worth coming in. They've been put out. They've been cast out. They're called outcasts. Can the church say outcasts? These are the people who everybody know what's wrong with them because what's inside has manifested to the outside. Now, it's interesting to me because some people have some stuff that's inside that's manifested on the outside and everybody know. But you do know there are some people who got the same trash on the inside of them. They just cover it better. I'm going to try it again. See, the problem with lepers, the difference between lepers and the others is that everybody can see what's wrong with them. They stuff has been put on Front Street. They stuff is put on blast. But there are sometimes some of us, oops, who got the same troubles, same sin, same issue, same sickness, but we just know how to cover it better. Sometimes we come to church trying not to look like a leper. We're trying to cover our leprosy, cover our mess, cover our lies, cover our sin, cover our trouble, cover our sickness. They got put out. You got put out. I'm preaching too hard. I'm sorry. Y'all ain't come for this. Y'all came for a public speech. And y'all don't want to hear all this preaching. They came. They see they are put out of the camp. But the Bible said these four leprous men who are identified by what's wrong with them. And somebody's house today knows what it feels like to have people label you, identify you, and judge you by what's wrong with you. I want to say that most of our trauma has come by labels. One mistake, people won't let you outlive. One thing that happened in your past, people won't let you live past. And they bring it up. Every time you try to do something better, they put you out. Every time you try to come find renewal, they put you back out again. You can't come around us. You're not good enough. Your skirt too short. You got too many tattoos. You had too many kids. You got too many arrests. You got too much stuff. You can't come around us. And see, the problem we all have is that your Bible says in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the shout of it is, we were not all physical lepers, but all of us were spiritual lepers. All of us are dirty. All of us are messed up. All of us got some stuff in us, and we need the Lord to help us, to cleanse us, to renew us. Now, we got to stop this, y'all. We got to stop judging people because they sin different. Oh, I better leave that alone. You can't stop hammering people who sin differently than you. That might not be your issue, but you got something. Whether it's public or it's private, it's the same thing. Just because people don't know your stuff don't mean you ain't got some stuff. Can I tell you the truth? That's why some of us holler like we do. So we try to block out what's wrong with us. That's why some of us put on too much in church so that people don't know the real us. That's why we overcompensate and act a fool and turn flips because we know where we've been. We know what we done said. We know what's in us. And we're trying to outrun the real us. Bible says four leprous men. But I like this tape. You know why I like this? Because with all this trouble, that they done messed around, they got some spiritual problems, economic problems, physical problems, and social problems. But here's the shout, y'all. They together. Now, you mean to tell me folks who are busted, broke down, disgusted, and put out know how to come together? And those of us who God done saved, who He done redeemed, who He done blessed, who He's anointed, can't come together, can't shake hands, can't give God praise, can't hug and forgive? Something wrong with that picture. You mean to tell me I'm that blessed and isolate myself? You mean to tell me I'm that anointed I can't speak? I'm so blessed I can't say thank you? Since when does ministry bring about bad manners? One thing these brothers got, they together. And maybe, I don't want to speak doom and gloom on your life, But maybe it's going to take some of y'all to get put out and have to go through some stuff to come off this high horse you on. It's going to take the right storm, the right trouble, the right sickness, the right issue, and you're going to come off that high horse. You're going to start remembering you ain't all that. And you're going to learn how to love people. You're going to learn how to let people love you. Keep on playing around, acting like you don't need nobody. God got a way to work life out. He'll break that mess out of you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I promise you, he'll do it. Oh, y'all so blessed, too blessed to talk to people, too anointed to deal with anybody. Let that mess around be in your house. Let it be your husband. Let it be your wife. Let that doctor come tell you stage four. Then you're going to say, somebody pray for me. Had me on their mind. Took the time. If you're going to be one of these days, you're going to learn to let folks love you. Because all of us know what it's like to have a difficult distinction. Everybody knows. These guys are messed up. And on their way into town, and on their way out of town, they pass by them. And then here's the problem, here's the thing about lepers, that when people who are clean pass by them, they got to say, unclean. It's law. The book of Numbers teaches us that when lepers pass by clean folk, they got to tell them, hey, I'm a sinner. Don't come close. Let me try it again. Clean people, when they see leprous people, they have a right, according to law, to be arrogant. And they're supposed to yell out, unclean, don't come close. But isn't it amazing how I sin individually, but I get stuck together? We don't know what these four men did to get themselves in their shape, but now they're together. Lord, I wish I had somebody. Some of y'all met some friends in the waiting room. Some of y'all met somebody in the hospital bed next to you. Some of y'all met somebody waiting on that next issue from the bank. Some of y'all had to meet somebody at a funeral. Had to meet somebody at a wake, making arrangements. You found somebody else making arrangements because you had to realize you ain't the only one going through a difficult distinction. Anybody thank God that God will send people who will come to you even in your valley? Because everybody can't handle that part of you. I like a people who will come to you, not when you are on your high moments. But they'll still rock with you and everybody know your stuff. Everybody know you messed up. Everybody know you got some issues and they still love you just like you ain't done nothing. That's a real love. See, I don't want to be around people who say, I'm for you as long as you're right. No, I really need you even when I'm wrong, because love covers a multitude of sins and faults. I don't want no nice, nasty people around me. I'm moving to a new level in my life. And ain't y'all sick of nice, nasty folk who fool with you 1 minute and stab you in the back of the neck? I ain't hang with people like that no more. Give me somebody who can handle my holy and my human at the same time. Let me quit. Let me hurry. It's a difficult distinction. Bible said these four leprous men. Now, as we move, brothers and sisters, these unlikely, these are unusual suspects, because, see, they're in an unusual situation. And, see, you know, some of y'all done learned this, you ain't going to tell the truth today, but desperate times. Y'all help me preach then. Call for some desperate measures and brings about not only a difficult distinction, but a daring decision. Can I tell you to do it again? That tastes sweet. I said, not only do you have a difficult distinction, but it'll bring about a daring decision. The Bible say they have a meeting. Wait a minute, they ain't got no money. They ain't got no people in their life. They ain't got no job, but they still got a mouth. They still got a mind. And they say, look here, let's look at our life. Look at our life. They say, sitting out here. See, the problem is, the folks who going through it now. The lepers been going through it. Missed it. The good church folk going through troubles now. But the folks they put out of town been going through. The church folk pulling out their hair, the lepers ain't never had none. Y'all will catch that before the week over with. You get mad when people don't get crazy like you. It's because they know what trouble looks like. So it's just your turn now, and you want the whole world to stop because it's your turn now. The same folks you overlook, they had some troubles, and you ain't pay them no attention. The folks you overlook, and they had some issues, and you ain't pay them no attention. So they've been here before. So they have a meeting and say, look here, why sit here and die? Y'all miss your shot. Remember I told y'all in my introduction, in my build-up, that the Syrians had came in and raided Samaria? Remember I told you? Y'all remember that. But I'm going to tell you again. Y'all don't listen to nothing. The Syrians came in, raided Samaria, God's people. Now y'all hear me. Now, they came into town, attacked them, raided them, took their stuff. Who you think they passed by? I say to y'all, the lepers are outside the gate. They can't come in, and they get stuck out. But they can see everybody who come in and everybody who come out. Who you think saw when these Syrians came in and took God's people's stuff? It's amazing how the folks we overlook are really our neighborhood watch. You don't know who's looking out for you because you ain't looking out for them, but they know where your stuff is. Y'all missed it. Who do you think passed by the gate, sitting at the gate watching this? Ooh, they finna go take God people's stuff. And them dudes say, look here, why sit here and die? We know where some stuff is because we saw it get taken. We know where it is. Because we know where they went. And they make a daring decision. They say, look here, if we stay here, we know we go die. If we go there, at least we done moved. We done made some progress. And if we die, at least we die trying to make our life better. Do I have anybody who say, I'm tired of life as it is, and I want something better? It ain't perfect, but I want something better. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm stepping. I don't know who to talk to, but I'm going to talk to somebody. I don't want to live like this. All it takes, Winfield, is one person to say, I'm tired of it. We don't have to accept life as it is just because people say, I come against this dark cloud everybody say over my hometown. If the people of God are here, ain't no dark cloud. It's just dark minds. It's dark prayers. It's dark religion. But the God I serve is everywhere we need him to be. You just got to get sick of it. And see, y'all ain't tired of this stuff yet. Otherwise, you been took it by, because the violent take it by force. I ain't got to shoot you back. I ain't got to cut you back. But I know how to get on my knees and lift my God and hear from God. And everything around us can change. But we got to be willing to make a decision. Now, y'all ain't going to like this. Y'all ain't going to like this. But here's the problem we're having. You know, we talk about making a difference, right? The problem we got, y'all, is the problem that these brothers don't have that we have. We don't know who ran the meeting. My amen. The only one go help me today. My own amen. The only one said amen. The rest of y'all shut down. We don't know who ran the meeting. We don't know who the treasurer. Don't know who the president is. Don't know who the sergeant at arms is. All we know is they. And the reason why we can't get better, because too many of us got to have a name. Every time we get somewhere, somebody got to be the one to stand out. We get to the cusp of a breakthrough for our people, but one of us sell everybody out so you can be the one in the paper. Next thing we know, you done snuck yourself on the Wynn Parish Journal. Notice I say snuck yourself. Now, it was they when we met, but it's you when it goes forward. Because the truth of it is, some people can't be they because it's all about them. I also got quiet now. And see, you got to be careful, y'all. Lord, Ham, Lord, hold me. You got to be careful about folks who pretend it's about us. They'll come hang with us. Cook with us. Give us a shrimp plate and barbecue. Because they know we're a bunch of savages who love free stuff. And they know what we like. They know what we eat. They know what we like. They'll get a jump house. They'll barbecue. They'll even do a line step with. They'll learn how to do the Tamia dance. They'll learn all that and say it's about us. And you push that button, they don't care about you no more. They don't talk to you no more. They ignore you. And because it never was about us, it was about them. Good night. I hereby tender my resignation. This got to be my last day on the job. God got me here. We don't know who was the boss because they stayed them. Whenever something was said, they said it. Whenever something was done, they did it. Whenever something was needed, they went and got it. We can't figure out how to be a part. Because we got to be the head. Where my amens went? That's all right. I brought a couple of myself. Amen. I brought a couple of myself. They make a daring decision. Why sit here and die? Since we go die, we go die trying to make something better. If we go into the camp, the Syrians kill us, at least they got to say they had to fight for it. But we're not going to take this laying down. I really want to know, what were we doing before social media? Because everybody a preacher, everybody a prophet, everybody a social justice advocate. What were we doing before everybody could see you? Jesus clearly tells us, do your stuff in private. Give your alms and help people. Help them in private, and God will reward you openly. If you go give me a piece of bread and then post it and tell everybody you gave me a piece of bread, if you catch me on an ungodly day, I'm going to tell you what you can do with that piece of bread. We are to exalt people and not exploit people. And I'm tired of folk exploiting us, exploiting our difficulty, exploiting our issues for their own gain. They. You're not ready for deliverance till you learn how to hook up with other people. Why sit here and die? We know what the answer is. So why be stingy? Why be selfish? Because you know it's too, watch this, can I tell you something? It's too much stuff to go get by yourself. Is my microphone on? It's too much stuff. It took a whole army to come raid that. So it's going to take an army to go get it back. How y'all looking at me? Ooh-wee. I mean, jeepers creepers. This done got rough up in here. Hmm.
you know, this is probably the loneliest I done been. And all y'all up there talking about, preach, preach, preach. Y'all ain't moved yet. Come help me. Bible says they go. They what? They go into the camp. To the enemy camp. Oh, man. They go to the enemy. They make a daring decision. So you got to have some folks who got some gangster. You got to have some gospel gangster in you. Because you don't care what the enemy going to try. Because you know who your God is. See, you can't have no scaredy cats and go get back our stuff. Somebody can't be scared of the white man, the black man, the blue man. Can't be scared of Republican and Democrat. Can't be scared of getting fired. You got to say, I want the Lord's will. And y'all can fire me. Y'all can talk about me. I want what the Lord wants for my people. And you can't be scared doing this. Did you say it? Yes, I said it. Did you stand on it? Yes, I stood on it. Don't say it now. Then get behind. Well, I ain't really, you know, I'll just. Oh, wimp. If you bad, be bad all the time. Let your word be yea and amen. Have a word. Stand on it. What you believe. Stop getting around here talking about, I won't. Let's go get it. Then get around other folks. I ain't lying to y'all. I ain't in that. I ain't know he's talking about all that. Yeah, you did. You the one said it. We go do it. And hey, y'all, you don't care when you're wrong. You don't care how you look. Under the wrong influence? There y'all go. There they go, Nick. Playing crazy. Here we go. Now we all family. This is clear water. But some of y'all know about happy water. And with that happy water, you have all kind of liquid courage. You say stuff you don't care. You'll wear stuff and don't care. And you'll show do stuff and not care. So much so that when you come back to, you start sounding like Reverend Steve Roker. Did I do that? So why not take a stand when you're doing something right? How can you, instead of being under the influence of alcohol, be under the influence of the anointing? That if God say we can have it, let's go do it. If God say we can do it, we go do it. And we go stand on it, whether people like it or not. We might be in the minority, but us plus God is always the majority. Stop being scared to walk in what God called. Now, you go be scared if you lying. If you lying and not going under God's guidance, you got a right to be scared. But if you're walking according to God's word, his principles, there's none for you to fear. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let me hurry. I know I'm bored, y'all. Bible says they go. And they go together to go get that stuff. Now, this is stuff they didn't have. It's because they never had nothing in the first place. It's God's people's stuff that was stolen by other people. Y'all catch that for the week over. They go, and they expect to see the enemy down there. But somebody ought to thank God that after you make a daring decision, God will bring about a delightful discovery. Because the Bible says when they got to the camp, I'm about to shout out my shoes. Bible said the stuff they was worried about was already worked out. Who am I talking to? That what you're concerned about has already been set before, but you got to walk and go see it. Too many of us worried about what could happen, what might happen, but you ain't walked to it. Mess around and trust God and walk one step at a time, and you'll be unseen that God already handled. I'm going to try it again. Bible says they went to the camp.
And God had already scared the enemy. He had some sounds raised up. Y'all missed it. He had some trumpets and some sounds and some noises that were made that confused and scared the enemy. And the enemy assumed that the Israelites had hooked up with other people to try to scare them off. And they were scared of your possibility, and you scared of their probability. Can I help somebody? The enemy in your life really wants you to stay scared because they see your potential more than you see your potential. They know your God better than you know your God. And they know if you hook up with your God, they know your God gonna help you. They know your God gonna help you win. They know your God gonna bring victory. So they try to keep you from believing in your God. Can I prove it? God has spoken some stuff in your life. God has spoken stuff in your life. And you let the enemy tell you, no. Because the enemy knows he heard what God told you. So he's trying to mess your head up so you'll forget what God told you and hear what they told you. Your enemy is more afraid of God than you are. That's why they're afraid of you. And don't want you to walk into what God got for you. I'm trying to help somebody. Because see, if you don't go and get it, you'll think it's God. God told you you can. The enemy told you that you can't. And you got to make a choice who you go listen to. Bible says that God already had it worked out. That while they were walking toward the camp, God had a sound going forth in the camp that made the enemies in the camp exit the camp. So that by the time you enter the camp, you can enjoy the camp. Who am I talking to? If you just keep trusting God, he'll have that stuff exit the camp and evacuate the camps so that by the time you enter the camp, you can embrace and enjoy the camp. Bible says there's a noise being made. There was a noise that conflicted the enemy. And they made assumptions because of some noise. I thought I was in the right church. The right noise was made. The enemy of God heard the people of God and assumed that a noise was going forth. It was a battle cry. It was a battle sound. It was a war cry of the people of God. There was glory going forth. There was praise going forth. And the enemy can't handle when the word, the worship goes forth, when the glory is lifted. So the enemy ran. They fled. So by the time the lepers get there, these lepers men, they see a delightful discovery. They see empty tents. Ooh, Jesus. They see empty tents. They see camels. They see clothes. They see food. Missed it. Lepers go into a camp that they shouldn't go into. They see a tent somewhere to cover them, but they've been exposed. They see clothing to cover them, but they've been exposed. They see food to nourish them, which they did not have before. They see animals they can ride on, and now they ain't got to worry about transportation. Can I help some? Am I helping anybody? That if you walk into what God says yes, it don't matter who said no yesterday. Today is the day for something to change in your life. Today is something to shift in your life. That whatever the devil said no yesterday, today is something different coming in your life. Can anybody receive? I got something new coming. I got a new job. I got a new house. I got a new ministry. I got a new breakthrough. I got a healing. I got some finances. I'm going to ask you a question. I got a question. How bad do you want it? How sick of your pain are you? How sick of normal are you? How sick of this mess the devil doing are you? Let your worship and your praise right now show God how sick of it you are. Are you serious about wanting to change? Thank you. How sick of it are you? I'm gonna give you 20 more seconds. I'll be done. How tired? Wait a minute. Pause. Got your Bible open. I don't mean a bit of home, but I got a pastor right. Got your Bible open? Got your Bible open? All right. They went at twilight. Let's see. The Lord, they rose up, verse 5, they rose up in the twilight. Y'all see that? That's verse 5. Verse number 7, they arose in the twilight. I'll be back in a minute. Verse 5, the lepers headed that way, twilight. Same time they headed to the camp. God working something out, and the enemy leave at the same time God's people. Okay, I'm going to try again. Y'all got your Bible open. Verse 5 says, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. Verse 7, wherefore they arose and fled. Watch this. You ain't gonna receive this, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. It's not just God waiting on you to move. The enemy waiting on you to run. Because, see, the enemy knows it's not their stuff. And they waiting on the right sound to know when to give it up. I'm gonna try it again. When the sound goes forth, they run. When the sound goes forth, they run. And you walking and worshiping is the same thing as making a sound that's going to make the enemy give it up. Can I ask you a question today? Is it something that the enemy got that you wanted to give it up and give it back to you? You better hurry and make a sound. You better hurry and make a noise. Because the sooner you going to give it up, they'll give it up. As soon as you lift them up, they'll give it up. Listen. Because once they made a discovery, I got to finish telling you what God told me to tell you. When you walk into it, I didn't say if. When you discover what God has for you, you got to be like these lepers. They went and hid it and got convicted. They say, we're not doing right. was brought about a devout declaration. That's it. They wanted to keep it to themselves that God had been good to them, so they hid it. But the Bible says because they've been changed, because they've been blessed, they could not keep it to themselves. And he said, we got to go tell somebody how good God has been to us, so that when he does it for us, he can do it for somebody else. See, being selfish got me in trouble. I don't want to go back to being a leper. I don't want to go back to being left out. Because God's been good, I'm going to tell somebody about God's goodness, and they can enjoy it too. They went and went outside the gate and talked to the porter of the gate. The porter of the gate communicated to the king, and the king got good news that everything was free. It took them a while to receive it, but they went and tested it for themselves. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I wish I had somebody in Zion who has tasted and can see, have experienced for yourself, that the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a protector. He makes a way out of no way. He opens doors no man can open. He closes doors no man can close. He'll provide when nobody can provide. He'll heal you in the midst of your sickness. Does anybody here know about the goodness of God? You ought to testify now. You ought to say hallelujah now. You ought to bless his name now. Hallelujah. For Jesus. It's gonna be some unusual suspects. It's not gonna come from the people you think. Hey, listen. Who would have thought that God would see a man with a temper problem and a stuttering issue and make him a deliverer? Who would have thought that God would take a man who's afraid of his own shadow and make him a mighty prophet? Who would have thought that God would take an adulterer, a womanizer, a killer, and make him a king called David? Who would have thought that God would take a little virgin and bring forth the Savior of the world? Who would have thought that God would have took a man walking to defend, to destroy the church, end up defending the church like Paul? If God can use unusual suspects then, God is still using unusual suspects now. God comes for the outcast. He comes for the left out. He comes from the misfit. If you feel like a misfit, feel like you don't fit in, feel like an outcast, this is your word today to respond and come to Jesus. Come to him. He sent this word just for you.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you. And if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483. Or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month. 6 o'clock midweek service and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again. We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you. And if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.